So let's look at this in terms of pictures again. So we're gonna take the same thing that Botan has done. We're gonna look at a different applet. Okay, this different applet shows the same thing that it's frozen. It's totally frozen. Okay. Right. So where is this? It is here. There's a bug in there, right? Everything's gonna crash. Okay. All right. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at the particle in the box again. What's the problem here? Hello. Okay. Oh, this is now frozen. Okay. I don't want to reboot the thing. It's going to take 5 minutes to reboot. Says it's running. Okay, let's kill this. End. Bye, Botan. What is it doing? That it's using 72% of the CPU power. Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. Excellent. Let's put that down. Oh. Okay. So this one is, there's lots of cool applets on this site. So let's look at this applet over here. Okay. So okay. So first of all, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the wave function here, magnitude and phase. So that complex number that sits out front is called a phase. Okay. And we can select, let's just clear this, we can select different states. So let's just select the ground state. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Stop radiation. Okay. So there's the ground state. Okay, so what is that showing? Just to connect with what Botan's applet was showing, Botan's applet had this kind of picture with the arrows up like this, and those arrows, that the pattern was the same, but the whole, all those arrows just rotated around. Okay, that rotation around is called the phase. And what this applet is showing is the same pattern, that sine wave pattern, except it's showing the phase, instead of having the whole thing rotate around, it's showing the phase as color. Okay, and you can see there's this little clock thing down here rotating around and around and around. Okay, so when that little clock is at the very top, that wave is pure real. When it's a quarter way around, it's pure imaginary. When it's halfway around, it's pure real, but negative of what it was before. And then negative imaginary, and then back to real again. So it cycles through that. Okay, so everyone understand what that applet is doing? Okay, so now let's look at the probability. So the probability, for probability, what we do is we basically just, we kill that rotation, we kill that phase. We just look at the length of those little arrows. Okay, so we look at the magnitude of this complex number, and then we square it. Okay, and so what we're going to get is, just if we look at the probability, we get that. Okay, it's just a pure static distribution like that, which is just saying that at any instant of time, the probability of finding the particle, say, around here is high, around here is low, and it doesn't change with time. Anytime I look at the box, it's the same situation. Okay? Yeah? So it's pretty close to the center. It should be right at the center. The highest should be right at the center. So maybe it's a tiny glitch on, it's a one pixel glitch in the, what do you mean? Which? Oh, not the yellow wave. It's just the white one. The yellow, forget about the yellow wave. Okay.
There was a yellow wave.
Yeah, yeah, forget the yellow wave. That's something else. Yeah. That's if you want to send an electromagnetic wave through. Okay, so that's the probability pattern if you're in that state, okay, the zero-point motion state, the ground state. Okay, we can also look at other ones. Okay, so this guy here, if we look at, say, the wave function again, magnitude and phase, so this is describing, just so we get more familiar with what this applet is showing, what it's describing is the first excited state, that's this guy, E1, and the real standing wave that we're used to is this, going up and down like this. But what it does, in fact, is it take this picture here and rotate this guy around this axis. Okay, and so at one instant of time, it looks like that, and then half of the rotation later, it's the negative of that. Okay, so now what you see here is actually two lumps going up. Okay, but you'll notice that at any instant of time, they're different colors. Okay, so this lump over here, maybe this lump is positive. This lump is just positive. Then that lump, I can also draw this lump down here, up here, and label it negative. Okay, so it's 180 degrees out of phase, it's called. Okay, so do you understand this picture now? Are we okay? And so that's the wave itself, the wave function, that standing wave rotating around in this complex space. Okay, now if we just kill the, if we're just interested in the lengths of those complex numbers and just look at the probability, again, it's just perfectly static like that. Okay, so if we have a particle in that state E1, then its probability pattern is like this at any time that we look in the box. Okay, it's just completely static. Okay, so now, of course, the interesting thing is, what if we were to consider a superposition of those two states? Okay, so here is, so we have a particle in this state and in this state, which is possible, right? In the classical world, it's not possible to have something doing two things at once, but in the quantum world, it is. So if we do that and add that up, then, actually, let's just do it first. Let's try to guess what it's going to do.
How do we do that?
How do we put in a superposition? Physically, we use a photon. See, we will get to how you physically do that shortly. But let's just suppose we can do it. So mathematically, what do we have? Okay, so mathematically, we have this situation over here, this wave over here, okay, and this guy is rotating around and around and around at some frequency F0 equal E0 over H. So okay, so that's this wave. And then we want to add to it the wave function for the first excited state. That's this one. Put it in a superposition in which the system is simultaneously in both. And this guy is rotating around at a greater frequency, F1 equal E1 over H. And the frequency is greater because the energy is greater. How rapidly it rotates is related to the energy. Okay? So let's say at t equals 0, say, the waves look like this and this. Okay, they haven't done any rotation yet. Okay, when we add these two waves up, what are we going to get? Okay, so let me just sketch this out down here. So this wave is this guy, and we're adding to it this wave, which is this one here. If we add those two, what do we get? What happens on the left side of the box, say? We've got a positive number here, or we've got all positive wave here and all positive wave here. We add that up, we're going to get a positive wave, right?
Yeah.
On the right side of the box, we have positive and negative. What's going to happen?
Cancel.
Okay, so the wave will look something like that. Okay. Now let's look, say, suppose that this guy is rotating around, I don't know, say 1.5 times faster than this guy. Okay. So at t equals 0, they both look like this. When this guy has rotated fully around once and has returned to the same position, since this guy's rotating 1.5 times as fast, it will have rotated around how many times?
1.5.
Okay, so the one time it will return it to this, if we have an extra half in there, what's it going to do to that wave?
It's gonna be changed. They're rotating.
If I rotate this by half a rotation around, what's gonna happen to that shape? It'll go the opposite way. Okay, so now we're adding the same this guy over here, but we're adding the negative of that guy. Okay, which goes down like that and up like that. Okay, so now on the left side of the box we have a positive wave added to negative wave, means its amplitude is small. On the right side we have positive added to positive, and we got that. Okay. So at one instant of time, the wave function looks like this. Sometime later, it will look like that. Okay? So let's look at that. So let's set up. So this is wave function. So that's that wave. And if I just click on this button over here, it will add the second wave to it. And we have a superposition. Now remember, when we're measuring the position of the particle, we don't care about that phase. We don't care about the angle that complex number makes. We don't care about the color. Okay, so if we just look at the lengths of those of each of these complex numbers at any instant of time, just freeze it at any instant of time. Okay, then we're going to see. Well, this is what we're going to see. So the colors represent the angle of the complex number. So at every single point in space, say that point over there, that number is it's a changing number. First of all, its length is changing. The height of that curve is going up and down like that. So its length is changing, and its color is changing. Its color is the changing color means it's a complex number with a different angle. Okay, so
it just represents the rotation. It just represents the rotation?
Yeah. That's right. So, well, it's a little bit more complicated now that the two of them are added together. So at any instant of time, let's just look at this location in space at right now. It's a complex number of a certain magnitude, which means it's a vector of some magnitude lying at some angle depending upon the color. Okay, so if the color is red, it's a complex number of that magnitude at that angle. If the color is green, it's a complex number of the same magnitude at the green angle, and so on. Okay? And so when we're looking at the probability of finding the electron somewhere, what we do is we don't care about that angle. We just kill the angle, and we're just interested in the length of that arrow. Okay? So let's just kill the that angle there and look just at the probability. Okay? What I mean is we're taking, so right now what's on the screen there is the total wave psi as a function of x and t. Okay, so you see it obviously depends upon x, the horizontal position. It also depends upon time. It changes as time goes on. And it's a complex number. If we just take the magnitude of that guy and square it, that's the probability of finding the particle somewhere. Okay, so if we do that, then we get this. Okay, so it's sloshing back and forth. Yeah?
So how many energy states can you put in at the same time?
Any number you want. Okay, just hang on. We will put it in all of them. Okay, so what you discover about this is, okay, at any instant of time here, so let's just, I wonder if we can we stop this? We can't stop this. Okay. Anyway, so at any instant of time, if we sort of freeze frame, say when it's basically all sloshed over to the left here, just freeze frame, like right now. Okay, what we have is a probability pattern, you know, that looks like this. It's mostly in the left side of the box. So if we were to look into that box at that instant of time, we would most likely find the electron to the left of the center point. Okay. And then when that probability distribution is sloshed over to the right, sometime later, if we looked in the box sometime later, then we still don't know exactly where we're going to find the electron. Okay. But the probability pattern now looks like that, sloshed over to the right. Okay. We're most likely to find it on the right. It might still be at the same place. Okay, there's some probability of that happening, but it's more likely that you would find it to the right. So what does this describe? This describes essentially a particle, as time goes on, sort of semi-classically sloshing back and forth, moving back and forth. This red line here indicates the expected value of the position. So at any instant of time, if you were to look in the box, you would get lots of different position measurements, and if you were to average all those out, you would get this red line position.
Okay? Does that probability ever go to zero? Like that right there? Does that reach zero, or is it just really, really small?
It goes to zero here. Yeah, it can go to zero. Okay, so. What do you think the frequency is of this oscillation back and forth? The frequency, when it's if the particle were just in that mode, the frequency is F naught. When the particle is in that mode, this guy is rotating around with a frequency F1.
Is it limited by the lower one?
Is it the average of D1 and D naught over A?
How would it be the average if the standard only exists in one?
Because the frequency is equal to the energy. But which energy?
Which energy? Okay, yeah. Okay, which energy is it? So one idea is it's sort of the energy in between. If it's got this energy and it's got this energy, then the energy is kind of in between, so the frequency should be kind of in between the average frequency. Does that make sense?
No.
How many are happy with that?
No.
No. I have a strong no here. What is it? Oh, it's just this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? What about this one? You don't like this one?
No, it doesn't have enough energy to go higher. So it decides to go lower.
Okay.
It's emitting energy.
It's emitting energy? Who said emitting energy?
Well, if it's in between but it goes down to E naught, then that means that the rest of the energy that it has
has to be emitted somewhere.
That's for somewhere. Not really.
Okay, so it turns out that the frequency, and if you think about it, just think about this. What you've got is some like imagine a piece of paper here rotating at some frequency, and here's another piece of paper rotating at a bigger frequency. Okay, when these guys, the times it will take for this guy to coincide with this guy again. Is or 1 over that time is going to be related to the difference in the frequencies. Okay, so it turns out that the frequency, and this will be very important.
Sure.
Frequency of that red arrow, of that red line sloshing back and forth, is the difference in the two frequencies. Okay, and if we express that in terms of energy, that's going to be E1 over H minus E0 over H, or delta E divided by H. So here is E0, here is E1, and delta E is the difference in the energy. Okay, so this thing sloshes, when you put it in a superposition of being both in the ground state and the first excited state, the probability pattern sloshes back and forth with a frequency that depends upon the difference in energy between those guys.
Over F?
Sorry, say? The difference between the energies is E1 minus E0. Yeah, it's the same as, well, it's this. So F1 is E1 over H, and F0 is E0 over H. Yeah.
So does this result in an n number of quanta difference in the energy? Like, delta is always an n number of quanta energy levels? As in, like, it's always like EO to like E2, EO to E1.
That's right. So delta E is can be, so if you put it in, say, a state which is superposition of this guy and this guy, then it will oscillate at a frequency which is this energy, the difference between that and that, divided by H. So it's always the difference in the frequencies. Oh, okay, so we're going to take a break, but just a second. Let me just say one more thing here. Just 5 more minutes here. So at the end of the day, so what is all this useful for? Well, it turns out that this is related, this is the process by which systems emit and absorb photons. Okay, this is physically what's going on. Okay? So let's see here. Suppose that you started with a system like this, which was in the ground state. Sorry, you have a system with two possible states, E0 and E1. Okay? And you start with the system in the excited state. Okay, so the particle is in this excited state. And then what you do is you send a photon in. Okay, you send a photon in whose frequency exactly matches or exactly is associated with that difference in energy. Okay, so we send a photon in of frequency f or energy hf. HF equal the difference in energy, E1 minus E0. Okay. And so what that does is the presence of this photon induces this system to make a transition from being just in that state to being in a superposition of these two states. Okay. And when that happens, it starts oscillating back and forth like this. Okay. And so semi-classically, you can think of this as say a charged particle sloshing back and forth with the frequency f, frequency of that photon. Okay, what if I take a charged particle and jiggle it back and forth with the frequency f? What is it going to do classically? It's going to emit electromagnetic waves classically. Okay, it's going to emit radio waves, light, whatever. Okay, and the frequency of that light is going to be f. So it's going to emit classically. This is basically a system emitting electromagnetic waves of frequency f. Okay? And it will do so for a time long enough so that the energy emitted is exactly the energy of one photon. Okay? And then it will drop, so that in that process it drops down to this state, this E0 state.
How fast does it emit the energy?
Very fast. I mean, so you can easily calculate it. So in an atom it's very fast.
I mean, like, what is it?
It depends upon how much energy needs to be emitted and the frequency and all kinds of stuff. Well, a little bit. It's a little bit. It's not a big deal, but it's more complicated than we can go through in 30 seconds. So at the end of the day, what happens is the original photon goes in. It sets up this superposition state, and then the original photon goes out. That's it, while the system is in that superposition state. It is in the process of physically creating a photon, generating a photon. And it does so by sloshing back and forth like that, and it emits a photon. And the wonderful thing about that photon which comes out, which comes from this energy drop over here, is it is exactly identical to the photon that came in. Exactly the same phase, okay, because photons are bosons. Okay, so there are fermions and bosons. Fermions don't like to be in the same state, bosons like to be in the same state. Okay, so if this guy over here sees that photon and says, oh, I want to be in the same state, so it creates a second photon in exactly the same state. What do you think that might be useful for? Laser.
Entanglement.
In this case, I'm thinking of a laser. So a laser is like amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. Okay, this is stimulated emission of radiation. You have a system that has extra energy. It's poised to get rid of that energy. You send a photon through, it causes the system to emit that energy and produce an identical photon. So you started with one photon, you end up with two. Okay, so it's like amplification by stimulated emission. You're stimulating this emission.
It's already in the E1 state before you
find. That's correct. It's already in the E1 state. That's right. And that's it. So that's the process of emission. And we'll look at this a really cool applet when you come back. To do with the a real atom. What does an atom look like when it's emitting and absorbing? So I just wanted to show you. So far we've been talking about a really simple system, which is a particle in a box, and we've learned a tremendous amount about quantum mechanics just looking at that really simple system, and also the little harmonic thing going back and forth, the ball and the bowl. Okay. If we can also extend those ideas to a real system of extreme importance to everyone, and that is atoms. Okay, so the idea of when we have the particle in the box, or the particle bouncing around in that bowl, what we have is these sorts of patterns, right? So there's you know, all these kind of standing waves and all that kind of stuff. So that's in one dimension. Okay, in two dimensions we can also have standing waves. So if we have, say, the round surface of a drum like this, okay, and if we hit the drum, say, right in the center, then what it's going to do is it's going to push down and then oscillate back up. And so the pattern will look something like this, and it will just oscillate up and down. We can also get, and that's analogous to this kind of mode, which just oscillates up and down, standing wave. Okay, we can also get more interesting modes, like a mode that has a node all the way down the center line of the drum. So if we hit it, say, right at that point over there, then this part of it will go down, and that part of it will go up, and it will just go back and forth like that. Okay, so we can get modes also in two-dimensional space. So particles confined to a two-dimensional space will have a two-dimensional pattern of standing waves, back and forth like that. And also in three dimensions. So if we take a proton like this and stick an electron in its neighborhood like that, and if the electron has sufficiently low energy, then that proton can capture that electron, and there's a force of attraction between these guys, and it will keep it bound, okay, to some region of space. Okay? And we can also then have standing waves in three-dimensional space. And so many of you will have seen the pictures of these standing waves. These are called orbitals, and you see them in quantum mechanics. In chemistry. Okay, how many of you have seen orbitals? Pictures of orbitals. Okay, so this is an applet which shows pictures of orbitals. Okay, so this is the lowest energy state. Okay, and that's just what it is a spherically symmetric fuzzy ball. Okay, telling you that the probability of finding the electron at any instant of time is maximum near the center of that fuzzy blob, and it decreases as you go outwards. Now you'll notice, if I turn up the simulation speed here, that it also has a phase. Okay, so it's also a complex number. So it's like our guy like this, except it's rotating around and around, complex phase, going through all the colors. Same thing is happening here. It's this blob in space, going through this phase. Okay? But if we kill the phase, if we ask what is the probability of finding the electron anywhere, okay, and we just look at it and just kill the phase, it's just perfectly static. And the same thing would happen if we put it in any other state, like for example this guy over here. Okay, so this is a p orbital, for those of you who know a little bit of chemistry. And so if we look at the wave function, okay, what we see is it's really a complex number at any point. Okay, and that complex number is the angle of that complex number is changing all the time. And we see these this rainbow pattern changing with time. But if we kill if we kill the color and just look at the probability of finding the electron somewhere at any instant of time, it's just static. It's perfectly static like that. So it's saying that if I look at the atom, if the atom was in this state, this p orbital state, then you know there's a high probability I'd find the electron over there if I looked, or over there, and a low probability I'd find it over there. Okay? And you can see that these are two blobs in space. I can rotate these guys around. You can see it's just two blobs in space, right, like that. And there are lots of higher order modes here, like this guy. Does it show what? I see. So if you have two atoms coming together to form a bond, there may be one of those applets on here, but I'm not sure. This is just a single atom. Okay, so you can see with this one here, there's a blob over here. If you looked at the electron when the atom is in this state, then there's some probability to find it in here, or over here, or in this band. So it looks like a band, but that band, if we rotate it, we see that it's actually a torus. It's actually a donut shape. You can sort of see the donut there. So it's actually this kind of a picture, where you have a blob up here, and a blob down here, and you have sort of a donut shape like that. Okay, and so there are lots of other fancy orbitals as we go higher and higher. Okay, so the question is, but the point is that if we have an atom in any one of those orbitals, if the electron is in any one of those orbitals, then the picture looks like this. There are certain allowed energy levels, and we talked about these. This is the ground state at minus 13.6 electron volts. This is E0.
Okay, but then there are also other states, excited states, which are like this. And then they form a nearly a continuum to the top there. And then up here, remember, are the states of electrons when they're free of the atom, when they're free of the nucleus of the atom and just floating through space. Okay? So the point is that if we have the electron in any one of these states, say it's in this state over here, then its probability pattern is just static. It just sits there. If you look at the atom at any instant of time, you'll always have the same probability pattern, same probability of finding it at various locations. Okay, nothing is dynamic. Nothing interesting is happening. Okay, it's in a stationary state. So here's our atom, and it's in this, well, it's in this state, let's say, like this. Okay? And compare that, say, to the ground state, which is just this spherically symmetric ball, like this. So let's suppose that that's this state over here versus this state down here. So that one's that one, and that one's that one. Okay, so now what we do is we fire a photon at the electron, a photon at the atom when it's in this state over here. Okay, so the photon comes in, and we suppose that the energy of the photon, which is just h times its frequency, is exactly the difference between this guy and this guy. Okay, then what it does is it induces the atom to enter a superposition, to be simultaneously in this state and this state. Okay, and because the complex numbers here are rotating at different frequencies, you're going to get some time-dependent cancellations and time-dependent constructive and destructive interference. Okay, so let's do an example of that. So let's suppose that, let's clear that here, and let's look at the phases of color here, and let's put it in a superposition of being in this state over here and this state. Okay? And you see that there's definitely something dynamic happening now. If we get rid of the color, if we get rid of the phase and just look at the length of those complex numbers, it's still sloshing back and forth. Okay, so physically, and it's sloshing back and forth at a frequency, which is the frequency difference between this guy and this guy. Okay, it's sloshing back and forth at exactly this frequency right here, the frequency of the incoming photon. Okay, so we've got our atom like this. It's in an excited state. And we have this photon come in like this. And it induces this superposition state. And in that superposition state, the atom is radiating. It's creating a photon. And then in the after picture, the energy is now down. Say this is E1. The energy is now down to E0. But there's an extra photon, exactly in phase with the original photon. And as I said, you have this laser. If you shine a photon at this atom that has a frequency or an energy that's not, say it's in this state, that's not either this or this or this or this, then it can't produce a superposition state, and the photon will just pass by the atom. It won't see it. Okay, only if it has this exact energy will the atom see the, or will the photon see the atom and be and cause this this superposition. Okay, and it works the other way around too. If you're in this ground state, and a photon of, say, this energy goes flying past the atom, then it will induce this superposition, and it will absorb that photon and jump up to that level. Okay, so this is really, really quite beautiful, the nature of an atom, this quantum nature of the atom, how it's actually really creating and absorbing photons. Yeah?
But could you, rotate that around so I can see more spatially what it looks like?
So you can see that if we're looking sort of edge-on, top-down, it's not doing anything. But if we rotate it on its side like this, then you can see that definitely it's sloshing back and forth. And we can put some other states in here. So now it's in a superposition of three different states now, and it's doing some weird stuff.
Oh,
then it'll be a mix. It'll be a mix of both differences. Both differences will be present. So that frequency minus that frequency, that frequency minus that frequency, and that frequency minus that frequency. All three differences, will be present.
What are you doing?
Yeah, but it looks like it's two different frequencies that are rotating, and then there's one light frequency overall that's rotating.
Well, yeah, there's a slow one back and forth. And then there's a faster one, and there should be a third one in there.
Yeah. The farthest corner through the middle.
Yeah, the very faint one going through the
middle. Oh, this one here? Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one?
Yeah. That's more.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Okay, so